Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And, of course, we're on the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Humbles Wharf. Hilser's General Store hotline's open. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilser's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Great time to shop. Great time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring in the respectable Bob Buhner. Mr. Buhner, welcome.
I've been off a few weeks. I was out in Chicago interviewing for the Bears head coaching job.
How'd that go for you?
Well, I didn't get the second interview. I didn't have a distinctive nickname. You know, there's Papa Bear, George Halas, Lovey Smith. Just didn't have what it took, I guess. So didn't get the second interview. So I'm disappointed.
Beautiful Bob didn't work. All right.
No.
So, and from the highly respectable Bob Buhner, we bring in the captain and prince of TMZ, Kevin Herr.
At least I'm the prince and captain of something. I'm happy about that all by itself.
Can you believe what Dave Paulson said about Kevin? Putting coaches in graveyards for decades now.
That's okay. We're putting together a promo for the show dealing with Kevin of all the comments people have made about him.
That's going to be a long promo. You know, they're only supposed to be a few seconds long.
Yeah, they're 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think Dave Paulson had it pretty well nailed, frankly.
Yes. All right, so playoffs. Playoffs. We're talking playoffs. What? I mean, great. First of all, the 49ers looked great. Kaepernick. And the 49ers catch a huge break, in my opinion, that it's Atlanta, not Seattle. I'll explain in a moment. Dave and Sunbury, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Okay, yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
Well, I'll go back to my attempt on Friday was about Pete Rhodes. But briefly to say that, yeah, he gambled on baseball. Then he also lied to the commissioner. That was part of the reason why they basically banned him for life.
Oh, I think he could have told them the truth. They'd have banned him.
Well, when Bob Buhner said about he's interviewing for the Chicago coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kevin Herr was interviewing for Punxsutawney Phil.
Hey, he gets some serious PR this time of year.
All I thought was, you see that commercial with StubHub with Benjamin?
Yeah.
Whenever I see that, I think of Kevin Herr.
The Ticket Oak.
Yeah, the guy with the hat. Kevin Herr's Benjamin.
Why, thank you, Ben. Dave, thanks, buddy.
What quick question.
Sure.
What was the result of the wrestling match yesterday?
41-0.
Okay, because it wasn't in the paper or nothing.
Yeah, 41-0 beat Michigan State.
You know, that's okay. The second shutout.
Go.
Yep. That's the second shutout of a Big Ten team by the Nittany Lions this year. Just a stunning thing. And I looked in the lineup, Steve and Kevin, 9 Pennsylvanians and 1 national champion from Ohio in the Nittany Lion lineup. That's an impressive showing for Pennsylvania. And what talent we have here in the Keystone State with wrestling and how Cale Sanderson's really brought this team along.
Yeah, we'll get Cale back on the show here. Oh, within the next few weeks.
Yeah, he's...
As the season rounds into a certain point, then we'll get... We're going to have Jeff Byers on the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling later in the week.
Well, you know, to just shut out a Big Ten team is impressive. And you know, it's done in front of a jam-packed house at Rec Hall. They had 6,400 or so. Mm-hmm. You can't get a ticket for it. It's the hottest ticket in town. There's no question about that. in terms of Penn State sports right now. And I think everyone's looking forward to the Iowa match, which is, I think, out in Iowa this year.
Yeah, it's in Iowa City. Yeah.
But the shutout, a team like Michigan State, is just amazing.
Yeah. And the heavyweight's coming on. The heavyweight beat the fourth-ranked kid in the country.
Yeah, and he's a kid from, is it Baldigo area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have two starters from Baldigo area, Quentin Wright being the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an impressive wrestler.
Baldigo area has been a power in high school wrestling for about 20 to 25 years. Dick Rhodes did a great job with that program for a long time.
Yeah, an awesome group in a, you know, quite a rural setting, which is literally over the mountain from State College. So, yeah, just a great high school program. And obviously it is when you put two wrestlers from your high school team on the number one ranked college team in the country. It's got to say something.
Speaks volumes. All right, now let's get back to Kevin and the NFL.
Okay, good.
Despite the fact, Bob, we had this marvelous weekend.
Yes, we did.
Kevin has complaints.
Listen, I'm not saying that it wasn't a great weekend to watch football. It was. I mean, it was an outstanding weekend to watch football. But I have questions involving the way kicks were handled this weekend. On Saturday, in between overtime one and overtime two, the Ravens run out their kicker to get a practice kick in. The officials don't think that there's a problem with that, don't say anything. He ends up winning the game with it.
There is no problem with that. That is permissible. And
but why? Can you go out there and run a play?
Well, you could go out and put your team on the field. And
Teams have been told to not allow. I mean, I'm sorry. Officials have been told to not allow it, but they can't penalize it.
Okay. That seems silly.
I agree with you. I'm just telling you what they've been told. Okay.
I have seen it at pro games where there's a TV timeout, and the kicker will run out and get a few extra kicks in while the nation is looking at commercials. Everybody in the stadium is watching the kicker out there doing a few practice swings.
This is the equivalent. You know what the equivalent is?
Well, of plowing a spot for the kicker to kick a ball.
No. Just calm down. Okay. All right. This is the equivalent of playing 18 holes of golf. You play the front nine. There's a backup on 10. And you go over to the practice range and keep hitting balls. You're not allowed to do that. Okay? That's wrong.
That's a good analogy.
Okay? You don't do that. Okay? If you want to kick, if Roger Goodell is so obsessed with kickoffs and nonsense and things like that, Roger Goodell has got to stop taking the game, and he's got to look at things like this and say, you know what? Competitive advantage can't be allowed.
And it certainly is.
Can't allow it. Now, icing kickers? Now, Bryant took that kick well after the timeout.
Oh, okay. It was ridiculous how long after. I mean, that whistle was going off for a good 4 seconds.
But I don't believe in icing kickers.
Steve, there was a famous book, a national bestseller called Freakonomics, done by these two economics professors, I think, at MIT. And they studied various scenarios in the sporting world. And one of the things they attacked was the myth of icing the kicker. And it turns out that statistically, there is a difference of kickers' accuracy rates after a timeout versus no timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like you, get it over with, kick the ball, come on. But according to the studies, it does have some effect in some occasions.
You know what, Bob? I find icing the kicker is more of a color analyst mantra. They talk about, okay?
Yes.
The same as you hear analysts talk about timeouts in college basketball, okay? All the time, taking your timeout.
Yeah. You
need a timeout. If a coach thinks that he needs three timeouts in the first half because he needs three timeouts to win the game, take three timeouts. What are you saving them for the second half? I mean, there's certain myths that I've watched destroyed by watching games, mm-hmm. observing. Kevin hates what I do.
What, observe games?
Yeah.
Right. One of them is, okay, when do you call your timeouts in basketball? Okay.
During runs when you need to break.
But I'm saying though, but you're behind in a game. Yeah. When do you when are you calling your timeouts in the final minute of the game?
No.
You don't use a single timeout in the final minute of a game. Do you want to know why?
Tell me, oh wise one of the courts.
Okay, the one time I'm talking about college right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because the clock stops on every made basket in the final minute. The purpose of a timeout is to stop the clock.
Yes.
Why do you have three timeouts at your disposal with a minute to go and then cut? To do what? Okay? You use them before the final minute. Okay? You go into the final minute with maybe a timeout if you really want to draw up something. Okay? But you use all the other ones to stop the clock when it's running. But you watch the TV guys. Does a TV guy ever tell you that? Have you ever heard a TV guy tell you that?
I was just thinking. I can't think of any time.
Of course not. They
want to set up a play.
They're sheep. Okay. Most of them are not good at their jobs. Okay. You got to look at the game. Okay. Look at the game. The clock stops on every made basket or foul in the final minute. You stops on a foul anyway during the game. That's why you see them fouling. They're stopping the clock and then hoping to get the ball back. Okay. But in the final minute on every made basket, it stops.
Don't need a timeout.
You don't need a timeout.
All right, let's shift gears to the Seattle-Atlanta game. Now, I'm not picking on Brenneman and Belichick. It was Brenneman and Belichick in that one, wasn't it? In the booth for that game?
Not Belichick.
No, it was, or not Belichick, but...
I think he was on the sidelines, Kevin.
He was a Ravens coach for a while.
Brian Billick.
Billick, thank you. Brenneman and Billick missed the boat on what Pete Carroll was arguing with the official. He was not arguing with the official whether they called a timeout or who called the timeout. He's wondering why in the world did they allow him to kick the ball when the whistle was going off for at least 4 to 5 seconds, and they still left him snap the ball.
The only thing I could think of there for Seattle is a delay of game. Penalty.
There has to be a delay of game penalty at least. Actually, I think it should be even more enforced to an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Now, I realize this means the officials have to make a judgment. Did they have enough time to stop the play? But let's be quite frank. If a whistle goes off in the middle of at the beginning of a snap of any other play, they stop the play.
How can they call a delay game penalty when a timeout's been called?
Well, that's what I say. I'm not sure. I think it's unsportsmanlike conduct.
But it still delays the game. I don't know that. Does the time have to be in for a delay of game? I don't know.
Well, no. Only if the play clock's running. If the play clock's running, you can't have a delay of game.
Well, whatever happens in this, there has to be a rule change somehow or another. There has to be a rule change to make this go into effect, because there's really nothing now that stops it. There's nothing that can stop them from going ahead and continuing to kick that ball. I don't blame Atlanta for doing that. I would have kicked it too. That gave you a great read on where you were at.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. So, I mean, look, they have to change the rule. No practice kicks are allowed in the field except at halftime or pregame.
Here you go.
Simple.
If you call a timeout and the team kicks the ball anyway, as the defense calling the timeout, you get the option whether to take the play or the timeout then. That'll end it in a hurry. I know. I'm being a little sarcastic, but that would end it in a hurry.
We need to get the mailing address for the NFL Rules Committee to Kevin.
Well, here's the other part, though, when it comes to kicking. I am totally mystified by what I saw from Denver at the end of regulation. You had 30 seconds left in the game and two timeouts. Now, I know you're risking throwing an interception and losing the game there. I understand that. But there's risk-reward. Okay? Now, Atlanta was in a spot where they had to go for it. And they ate up 41 yards in how many seconds and got the game-winning field goal.
But you're talking about Denver taking a knee.
Denver taking a knee to go to overtime with 30 seconds left, two timeouts, and a kicker with 59-yard range.
And Mile High Stadium is about as friendly a place for long-distance kickers as there is in the NFL.
But yeah. But if you remember, wasn't it the Denver kicker early in the game that actually struggled because the field was so hard that he actually scuffed his foot on the field before he kicked it? Maybe that's why they felt that they weren't going to get a good field goal kick.
Guess what? You're playing with house money. If you get the ball down to the 42-yard line, he tries a 59-yard field goal, and he scuffs his foot. Guess what happens?
It has to be a really bad kick. It has to be a really bad kick that they return for a touchdown, right?
No, but you're going over there. You're not going to put a return guy back. Nobody does that anymore.
It's a shame.
Okay? But you're playing with house money at that point. Okay? You got Peyton Manning, for goodness sakes. Go for it.
Yeah, that was an awful puzzler for a lot. I'm sure the Denver fans are just.
Well, they booed.
Yeah.
They should have booed. Yeah. I would have.
Just beside themselves, especially now that we know what the overtime result turned out to be.
I'd have said the same thing, Bob. Even if they'd won the game, I'm puzzled. In the NFL, okay, there is a go for it mentality. You see teams throwing the ball at the 5-yard line all the time.
Sure.
You didn't see that in the 70s. Okay, you didn't see that in the 60s, 70s, or early 80s. You did not see teams coming out and throwing from their own 5-yard line. We better just run 3 plays, hope we get a first down. If we don't, we'll punt. That's the way the game was played. That's not how the game is played now. And I was shocked with 2 timeouts and 30 seconds, in which they needed 38 yards to get into this guy's range. I don't care if he tripped and fell on the other kick.
Denver played like they had a 3-shot lead at Amen Corner on Sunday. They just went for the middle of the green, or the middle of the fairway. That was it. They didn't play for the green at all.
They didn't do anything.
And so
they did nothing.
So we have 2 Mannings sitting at home in the championship weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing for the league. But you know the best team? We haven't even talked about them.
49ers.
San Francisco.
Boy, did Kaepernick look good.
We'll come back to talk about why the Niners have a distinct advantage on Sunday in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Kevin asked me in the break, did you go see Les Mis on Friday? I said, yes, I did. He said, what'd you think? I said, too much at night and too much singing.
A lot of Golden Globes, though.
Yippee.
Is it bad that of all the Golden Globe nominated and Academy Award nominated movies, I only saw one? Is that bad for me or just bad for the awards shows?
Bad for the movie industry in general.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I want to see something like Best Car Chase. I mean, just,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that fits me.
Was the James Bond movie nominated?
The soundtrack was.
But the movie was the best James Bond ever.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't give it away.
Yeah, I'm anxious to watch that, as a matter of fact. What,
the James Bond one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. And I go back to the original Dr. No and Goldfinger and all of those. And this was the best.
It's better than Honor Majesty's Secret Service?
Yes. It is better than any previous Bond movie. It should be the Academy Award winner, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, the biggest name in that movie was Telly Savalas.
Way back.
Yeah. Yes. That was the second James Bond.
He was
Bond.
The evil person in that movie. Yep.
George Lazenby's was the second Bond.
Yes, the famous, Australian.
Famous line right before they cut away to the credit, opening credits was, "This never happened to the other guy." Best line in the entire movie. Of course, that's not saying much.
No. And Steve, I got the pleasure of listening to you on Sunday afternoon as I was driving around Pennsylvania.
That was a hard day.
I felt your pain. Trust me.
Hard day. I mean, when you do so many things right like they did, they played great defense. They played hard. They hustled. But you know, you can sit there and you can draw up every play you want, and they could be the best plays on the planet, and if you can't shoot the ball, it doesn't matter. And they couldn't shoot the ball.
They were missing layups.
Well, they were missing layups. I mean, if the Hammonds kid is really good, but you can't have him in your head. You got to attack him. Get him out of there. Use your off arm. Make him foul you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So let's recap the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and we'll recap the show from the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we can always count on you to be a part of the show at the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Outerwear and so much more. And our show recap so far. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
No. I was just going to say that it's a good idea on the way home to stop by for some of the great food there and take it home so you don't have to cook. See, if it's Kevin Knight, the cook at home, I definitely stop somewhere. A good stop would be Hilscher's for the food buffet.
Oh. You are speaking to Bob and me loud and clear.
And when the cold snap comes these next couple days, there's always an extra pair of gloves are necessary. Yeah. If you've, like me, you've misplaced or lost your previous winter gloves about 3 times.
Listen, I stepped in the yard once yesterday, and I think the footprint's still there. Then that's where you need the mucks.
Yes. So Hilscher's has all those kinds of things that you need for this kind of weather.
Absolutely. Let's recap the show so far. We've had Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Reporter. We've also told you that Tim Brando is going to be on the show tomorrow. We have reviewed Bucknell Basketball with Paulson, the Hilscher's General Store hotline, in the opening half hour of the show. Mr. Buhner has given us his normal level of thoughtful, insightful, intelligent commentary. And his, once again, the fact he is good friends with Robbie Gold paid off in our kicking discussion, as he talked about several things. And Kevin whined a lot. So, I mean, that really recaps where we are.
That's a pretty accurate summary, Steve. You've obviously taken notes.
I was listening to the show the entire time. Give it a shot today, see how it went. We don't hear Kevin at all.
I'm not even going to address that.
So can you set for us the NFL weekend upcoming? Who's playing who, where,
okay,
and when?
Atlanta is at 3 o'clock with the Niners. Okay? Now, I say going to the break, why do the Niners luck out getting Atlanta on the road instead of Seattle at home?
That is a puzzle.
Where we bring in Kevin.
Yes, Kevin, jump in.
Not as solid of a linebacking core.
For who?
Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, Atlanta, okay, yeah. That's fine.
Because I think against that type of offense, you need solid linebackers because they're going to have to read that midline option very, very closely.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. All right, so.
Sorry, I analyzed something.
Yeah, you did fine. Okay, you did fine. It's actually kind of part of the answer, but not completely. Okay? Seattle has played Kaepernick. Atlanta has not.
See, you always go for the simple stuff.
When you do not have it. Oh, when you do not have a gauge in practical application of how quick he is, okay, what he likes to do and what he doesn't like to do, he has the advantage. But when you have practical application, you've been through it, you see it, okay, hey, you know what? You get us out of position here, so we're going to change this here. You get us out of position there, we're going to change that there. This is how we're going to. By having practical application against somebody, you know how to play them. Now, if they're just better, they're better. Atlanta doesn't have practical application with them. And because it's a 3 o'clock start, it takes away the advantage Atlanta has in playing a West Coast team at home. Because body clock-wise to the Niners, it'll be noon. So it's not going to be a 1 o'clock start. And it's 10 in the morning, okay, Pacific time. We got to be at the stadium by 8 in the morning. You know, things like that. All that stuff comes into play. So the Niners, because they have not played Atlanta and they have not played Kaepernick, the amount of preparation they have to do this week because they have no practical application and have no gauge for how truly quick he is a big, big problem for Mike Smith and his team. Huge. Also remember, the Niners' defense, now that they have Justin Smith back, makes Alton Smith far more effective because the two of them play off each other in stunts. Alton Smith's production dropped dramatically. It now means that the Niners are putting 10 guys in the field that have taken 90% of their snaps this season. They know each other. They can read each other. There's a feel. I think the Niners are the best team in this thing.
I think they've also done a nice job of developing their offense around Colin Kaepernick. I mean, let's face it, this kid came from the University of Nevada, where they developed basically the pistol formations we're seeing in college football, now spreading over into the NFL. And that's why he was your leading rusher for the 49ers. They've developed the offense around his skill set.
They have. Greg Roman's done a great job. And how many times have I mentioned Greg Roman's name in the last 2 weeks as to why? Why isn't he getting interviewed?
Yeah, I can't even count how many.
Now, the Niners may be preventing him from being interviewed until they're done. I don't know.
Steve, as a quick aside on all that, do you think one of the reasons why we haven't heard a head coaching announcement out of Chicago, out of Philadelphia, is because a lot of the top assistant coaches who would be on the top of any interview list are basically tied down for the next 1 to 3 weeks?
That's part of it, Bob. And Mike McCoy is now free to talk to anybody. Kyle Shanahan's now free to talk to anybody. I mean, so there's a lot, but it's now you're getting down to, I mean, Josh McDaniels has already pulled his name out of everything, so he's not really in consideration for anything. I'm trying to think, is there anybody in the Ravens staff?
I don't think
there's anybody in the Ravens staff that's under consideration.
Because, they did change coordinators there and brought Caldwell up.
Yeah,
mid-season.
Jim Caldwell's been calling. And Jim Caldwell's done it. Yeah, Jimmy's done a good job, and I think the world of Jim.
He proved his worth out in Indianapolis for a while.
He did, and is one of the great guys. Jim and I used to sit and watch T-ball games together at Lamont Elementary School way back when his son and my son played in the same team. We'd sit out there and talk football while we're watching T-ball, and I'm just thrilled to see him do well because he had to step into a very tough situation with the Ravens because you rarely replace your coordinators in a contending time, but they did. But the Falcons are going to have problems with Kaepernick because unless you've faced him, he's hard to judge. Notice how effective the St. Louis Rams were against Kaepernick. Did you notice that?
Actually, Rams don't, it slipped by Rams, me, I have to say.
Yeah, the Rams don't have a great deal. They almost went to overtime again. And the 49ers could not move the ball. The 49ers struggled in that game.
Yeah, but I don't know if they utilize Kaepernick the same way they have in the last couple of weeks. Would you?
Oh, Kevin, they have utilized him like this the first time they had him against the Bears.
No, I didn't see it as much. That's my opinion.
No. They were already using him in specialty situations anyway, running these same things when Alex Smith was the starting quarterback. They brought him in for special packages. And then when they played against the Bears, they went all out. They ran him. They did the option. They the whole thing. That's what they would impress me. Is that the first time they started him against the Bears, they just said, we're going for it, and did it. I mean, Greg Cosell was on the show Friday. He told you the same thing. They have not changed anything in what they've done with Kaepernick. Nothing. And he analyzes every piece of film out there. I mean, while you're playing video games, he's watching the real games.
Do you think that one of the big disadvantages for Atlanta, and maybe you've said this in just a different way, is if you're a linebacker for Atlanta, you've got to really reconfigure your pursuit routes with Kaepernick back there. When he takes off, because he's going to have that extra step that most NFL right. quarterbacks won't have.
So you I think you'd like. I think you would like to spy him with a defensive back if you could,
and not a linebacker.
But what's hard about that is that they have Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't. You don't want that matchup. So that your sub packages all change because of who this kid is. Now Kevin's going to put him on his fantasy team.
Well, but the Green Bay defensive ends had no way of staying home. They could not figure out the read. Every time he had a big run to the outside, it was because they read it absolutely wrong.
To a point. Okay, he also had a lot of. They also gave up a lot of stuff up the middle in that game because they didn't have anybody in the middle spying him. Nobody spied this kid. I mean, who was there in the middle?
He really put on a show. There's no question. And he made a good Green Bay
defense. They played man coverage. And in the process of playing man coverage, got themselves out of whack. I would look at what the Rams did. Nobody played the Niners tougher than the Rams this year.
So, memo to Falcons defensive coordinator, get the Rams tape.
Right. I mean, the Rams played them twice. Remember, they almost ended up in two ties.
Yeah, and almost ended up a tie at the end of regulation or end of overtime.
Overtime.
Yeah. I mean, they almost had two ties this season. And the Rams played, and they really had Kaepernick bottled up. He did that, though. He did not play well against the Rams in that second game. So I think the lack of practical experience against this kid is going to, and this kid throws a tight ball. Now, is he a great thrower? No, he's not a great thrower. If you really break down the game the other night, he was 17 of 33 passing in the game. Not terrific, okay, when you're one throw over 500. But the fact that he ran for what did he run for, 183? 183?
Well, I think it was 183, yeah.
Yeah, he had 446 yards in total offense. Made some big throws when he had to. Crabtree's really playing well for them right now, which has been a big plus for him. They're good looking, and their defense is already good to begin with. Patrick Willis is great. Navarro Bowman is great. This secondary did a really good job in the Green Bay receivers. That's the best set of wide receivers in the NFL as a collective group. They made them invisible. I mean, they did it. I mean, their secondary played really, really, really well in that game. I mean, they are the best team right now.
I will agree with you one thing, though. The middle was available to San Francisco through the game, but the defensive ends, to me, they're the key here in stopping this kind of an offense. If the defensive ends stay home and do not overcommit, you can deny everything to the outside and force it to the middle where you should be able to make the tackle.
No, the defensive end's job on something like that, it's the outside linebackers going to make.
Well, and the outside linebacker. You're right, because they're running with the scheme that they're running in the NFL. You're right, it's the outside linebacker.
The outside linebacker has to be the one that makes that kind of play. And that's where you got to consider going with dime packages. You have to consider dime packages against a guy like this, because if you go in a dime, now you're going speed on speed out there. And that's what you have to consider. Now, he's going to have to deal with noise. But he won and played well at New Orleans. Okay, that's indoors. He won and played well at New Orleans. Matt Ryan, that was a big win for him yesterday. In the clutch, when he had to make something happen in a playoff game, money on the table, he hit three big passes. This is after they'd gone three and out. They'd gone three interception, three and out, three and out. Okay, that's what they'd done in their three previous drives. And when they needed him, he came up big. And, of course, the Seattle Seahawks decided to play prevent.
Why? Prevent only prevents winning.
Why? Okay. Denver, 30 seconds left. Peyton Manning, two timeouts. And you take a knee. Really? Yeah, you look at, I'm looking around thinking to myself, what are you doing? You brought Peyton Manning to Denver for this moment.
Yeah. It was like that was the moment that was just made for him to come out on the field and lead him to victory.
I mean, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But you don't take a knee and throw up the white flag and say we're going to go to overtime. It's 4 degrees. It's like Vince Lombardi. Right? Do you know what Bart Starr said to Vince Lombardi in the Ice Bowl? Okay, he came over the sideline, and Lombardi said, "What do you see?" He says, "Look," he says, "Coach," he says, "I think," he says, "I think that," he says, "Pugh's having trouble with the ice. I think Kramer can get him." You know exactly what Lombardi said? He said, "Well, run it and let's get the hell out of here." That's exactly what he told him. Okay, grand strategy. No. Look, you brought Peyton Manning there. Let's run some stuff and try and get the hell out of here.
You know, you could draw that one up in the mud with bottle caps and sticks just like they do on a sand lot with 30 yep. seconds left. So what?
Yeah, I mean, look, you get out there, you know, you get a first down, you got two timeouts, okay? Which means on that first play, you have the entire field open to you, okay? You have two timeouts. The whole field is available to you, okay? You know, and they will win this thing in overtime. Okay, well, let's see. Your defense is giving up 35 points today. I'm not so sure you're going to win it in overtime, babe. Yeah. I mean, and notice how nobody played, how the defenses were taken apart this weekend. Everybody points. And that's what made the weekend fun. Okay, defense wins championships. Okay, you insist.
Yeah, but not this week. The under and over was completely taken aback by the prolific scoring machines that were out there.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, and I was not in Las Vegas to pile on at the window with some, I'll take the over this week.
I mean, do you realize that the team, that the fewest points given up was 28? Fewest points the whole weekend given us 28.
And normally the under and over in a typical thing is about 38 to 40 points.
Yeah, Houston scored 28, Seattle scored 28, Green Bay scored 31, and Denver scored 35. They all lost.
You wouldn't have no, you can't predict that one.
Fantasy update from Kevin Herr. The audience anxious to know where he stands after the opening weekend of the playoffs. Stay tuned as we continue. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The NFL. There's in the NFL is no pitch man. That's what? Just be the one on the outside. When they run the read option is there's no pitch man.
So that's why the defensive end doesn't have the importance.
Yes.
As
exactly.
I suspected it would.
Yes.
It's a tough – I have to make the adjustment every so often. And remember, it's the NFL.
And by the way, Kayla Klein of Mifflinburg, congratulations. She won the National Punt, Pass, and Kick Competition, which is one of the really neat things. And Kayla Klein from Mifflinburg won it. We congratulate her. You've made our area very, very proud. Beating out literally everyone in her age group to win it. What an accomplishment.
And we do have a call into them. They went to, I think it was Atlanta yesterday for the finals.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I don't, I'm not sure if they're back yet, but we do have a call in to try and get her on the program.
Well,
she punted 108 feet, passed for 111 feet, and kicked for 120.
That's tremendous. And was signed by the Arizona Cardinals. All right, so.
By the way, I have to correct. I did say something wrong, Steve. It was Saturday in Baltimore, she actually did. Not in Atlanta. It was Baltimore on Saturday.
And in Baltimore?
Yeah, I participated in the finals in Baltimore. Okay. I said Atlanta, so I wanted to correct that.
Okay. Well, congratulations to her. Congratulations to her. I think that's great. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studio is where I reside. 4th Street in Sunbury is where you'll find Sunbury Motors. And Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. So, the playoffs are set. Tim Brando joins us on the show tomorrow to talk about a wide variety of things. The playoffs were great. I have no idea what Raheem Moore thought, saw, and why he wasn't further back to begin with. The color guy, then you listen to Dave Logan on KOA in Denver. Throws down field, caught, touchdown. Okay.
Well, you can understand which team was in the scoring mode and which team was on defense.
Indeed. And in fact, they're so overwhelmed by it, they got the wrong guy. They said Smith's the one that caught it.
Details.
Scores. Well, they're so depressed. I mean, it's like, you know, they could have picked anybody. Raymond Berry's got a touchdown.
Could have been worse. It could have been back to pass. Are you kidding me? That would have been worse.
That would have been you.
No, that was me sitting on the couch. Are you kidding me? Nobody makes that play.
Well, we're sitting there in West Lafayette. We're like, what? I mean, when he let go of the ball, I'm looking downfield and saying, he's going to catch this thing. Because you could see the Broncos were all out of whack and out of position. I'm thinking. But then, when they took the knee, that's why I was like, what are you taking a knee for? You got Peyton Manning and 2 timeouts. Give it a shot.
Go for it.
You got a kicker who has 2 career 59-yard field goals. All you have to do is pull a Tebow and get the ball to the 42.
It goes home from there.
You're telling me they got further in the playoffs with Tebow than they did with Manning?
Irony is funny.
Get to the same spot they had a first round bye. Wow. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Tim Brando tomorrow. Timmy B on the show. The Knocking Around here on SJS.